do tonight. I want to talk about the gospel. So take a minute, and I don't want you to answer, but I want you to think about it. What is the gospel? Like, if you were going to say to somebody, they asked you, what is the gospel, and they didn't know, what would you say? Just think about it for a minute. Now, this isn't a test or quiz. I'm not going to give you a gold star for answering well. It's just something I really want you to think about. Because as Christians, we say the gospel is the most important thing. Like, the gospel is the whole deal. Right? It's the whole thing. I'm going to tell you what I think the gospel is very, very simply. The gospel, put most simply and succinctly, is that Jesus is king of everything. That's it. All right, in Romans, Paul says, Jesus is Lord. That is the gospel. So, Jesus is Lord. He's the master of the universe. He is the king of everything. He's the Lord of the cosmos. There's nothing that Jesus is not the king and boss over. So when he rose from the dead, he walked around. How many days did he walk around before he ascended? Does anybody remember? 40. He was 40 days. And then he ascended to the Father. When he ascended, he sat on the throne that is the throne of the universe. And there's no contenders, and there never will be. The gospel is that Jesus is king. And that is good news. Okay, so here's my next question. Why is that good news? Think about that for a minute. Why is it good news that Jesus is the king of the universe? There are many reasons, okay? And we could spend our lifetimes, and we'll spend eternity going through the reasons. But I want to give you some. One is the parable I just read. Jesus is the one who told that parable. And that parable's about his father, who had two sons that were lost, not one. Welcomed the one awful son back and went out and tried to bring the other son back. Jesus is king, and he told that story about God. We call that story the prodigal son story. That's not the point of the story. The story is the father who went out to his prodigal son and went out to his older brother and tried to bring him in. Why is it good news that Jesus is Lord? Because when there was a woman caught in terrible sin and they brought her before a whole crowd, Jesus ran all the men off, shamefacedly, and told the woman, I don't condemn you. That's good news that he's the king. The one that said to that woman caught in terrible sin, I don't condemn you. That's good news. Does that make sense? Is that good news? He's the boss. The one that says, I don't condemn you. That's good news. It's good news that Jesus is king because he said this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me because I am gentle and humble of heart. I love that. The king of the universe is gentle and humble of heart. And he wants to give people rest. Would y'all agree it's good news that he's the king? You know, did y'all see the signs during the election, Jesus for President 2024? Have y'all seen those? They're kind of funny, but they kind of get to a real thing. I want the king of the universe to be the guy who's gentle and humble of heart. I dig that. All right? It's good news that Jesus is the Lord, that he's the king, because when one of his good friends died, do you know what he did? You remember what he did? He cried. The king of the universe, who is master of everything, cried when a good friend of his died. He cried when his sisters were grieving for their lost brother. That's good news. We could go on. The Bible says he is making, Jesus as king, is making all things new. Think about things that are broken. Think about things that are messed up in you, in your family, in your neighborhood. The Bible says, we sang about it, he's making all things new and he wants to make creation new. He wants to make everything. He has begun and is going to make everything good and right and well, including you and including me. So, are you with me? The good news is Jesus is King, and there's many, 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 many reasons. And we could go on. I just wanted to give a sample. But now I want you to consider the alternative, okay? So in the ancient world, the place that we got the word gospel from was from the Romans. They preached gospels, and their gospel would be, hey, Caesar is Lord. He's defeated his enemies, and now he's coming to this town. All right? So here's what I want you to think about now. Who would it be bad news if they were the Lord of the universe? Does that make sense? So it's good news that Jesus is King, but who would it be for there to be bad news? Like, I think we would all agree Hitler is Lord of the universe. Would y'all agree that's bad news? Okay. How about Chad Grissom is Lord of the universe? I mean, I'm okay, but you can ask my family. They know my failures and my sins that God is still working on. And if I were king of the universe, I'd inflict those on people. My flaws would impact the kingdom. So it's good news that Jesus is king and not me. Would y'all agree? And I mean, we can say this. It's good news. Hopefully y'all would agree. If not, we have things to talk about. That you're not the king of the universe or the queen of the universe. So just think about your own little kingdom in your head or your own little kingdom in your room or your own little kingdom in your relationships and think about how your little rule goes. And then magnify that out to all power and all authority everywhere. I don't know, would everybody kind of agree that it wouldn't look good? All right, again, I know it wouldn't if I was the boss. And I don't think it would be good, sorry guys, if y'all were the boss, right? So again, the gospel is Jesus is Lord, and that is good news because he is so good and he is so kind. And he uses his power to serve and forgive and welcome and restore. So that's the good news. What did Jesus do? Jesus defeated the Dark Lord. I like calling Satan the Dark Lord because I think Dark Lords in novels and movies and stuff are just like little pictures of Satan. He's the Dark Lord. He's the voice that draws us into slavery. He wants to destroy our lives. He wants us to listen to him and destroy our lives. But the Bible says Jesus defeated him. That Jesus stripped him of his power. He defeated death. He made death into not the end, but an entry into new life for all of us. That's what Jesus did. He defeated every possible cause of fear. And he did it, and this is very important. Sometimes we say, why did he do it? Oh, so we could go to heaven when we die. I'm going to say, no. It's not that. He did it because he wants to set everything right. He wants to set everything right. He wants to set creation right. He wants to set you right. So just a little side note. What's somebody's favorite thing in creation? Like something that you've seen once in your life that just gripped you and it really caught you up. Like it was amazing. Anybody got just an experience of creation that you'd like, that you would be willing to throw out, Kimberly?
The ocean.
Okay, the ocean. Raise your hand if you can say amen to the ocean. All right. Let me tell you this about the ocean. The ocean now is a seed. We have no idea what God intends the ocean to be. All of the awe that you feel at the ocean is like a little bitty drop of what God actually intends for the ocean. And that's true of everybody sitting here, too. What God wants you to be is not yet apparent. What God wants trees to be is not yet apparent. As awesome as they are, this is just the beginning. So he is making all things new. It's good news that he's Lord because that's where he's taking everything. Sin derailed what God wanted to do in creation, but Jesus put it back on track. So he's setting everything right. Your body. Okay, you're all young. I don't know if anybody's experienced real sickness or pain, but you will. Sorry. You get to be my age and you'll start experiencing things. God wants to make all things new. Let me mention this. Sometimes people hate their bodies. Don't raise your hand. But do you know God wants to redeem your body, not just your spirit? He wants to redeem the whole you. He wants to raise your body and perfect it. Your identity. Who you are. Who am I? What makes me me? God knows, and he wants to fulfill it. He's making all things new. Your emotions. If your emotions are chaotic and out of control, he wants to fix it. He wants to restore all things. Everything that's wrong in the world, he is restoring. That's why it's good news. And here's the point, guys. We are invited to be his people. Jesus is king. He's making all things new. And you and I are called and invited to be his people. We, his enemies, we who set ourselves up apart from him, he's called us to be his. He knows we're rebels. He died for us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to welcome us into the Father's house. He wants to share his privileges with us. In the prodigal son story, he gets the ring. You know what the ring is? Power. In the ancient world, it's the credit card. I got the family seal right here, and I speak in the name of my father, and I can get anything my father can get. He wants to share his privileges with us. Our enemies, his enemies, he wants to share his privileges with us. He wants to include us in what he is doing to fix the world. He wants you to be a part of what he's doing to fix the world. We are like hobbits drawn up into this vast story that's way bigger than we can imagine. And we think there's no way we can play a role, but he's actually giving us roles in this grand story of his kingdom and his kingship. He's giving us roles that matter. I hope you've read The Hobbit. Or The Lord of the Rings. Or watch the movies, I guess. But do y'all know what I mean? Like, the elves are cool, and the dwarves are cool, and the men are powerful. The hobbits are like, eh. And God is saying, nope, I want you to be a part of what I am doing in the world. And what you do, and what I do inside of you and through you is going to matter. It's going to count. Okay, I'm almost done. Let me give one last thought about why it's good that Jesus is king. Somebody coming? Oh, awesome. All right, I want to read a quote. Who knows who, I'd be surprised, wait. Who knows who Adam Smith was? Raise your hand if you know who Adam Smith was. Evelyn, did you have him?
No, I didn't.
Oh, who was Adam Smith? Okay, he was an English dude. I want to read a quote. Everybody listen to the quote. It'll take a little explaining, but I want you to listen carefully to the quote. You ready? Is everybody tuned in? Man naturally desires not only to be loved, but to be lovely. He desires not only praise, but praiseworthiness. He dreads not only blame, but blameworthiness. Let me read just the first part again and listen. Man naturally desires not only to be loved, but to be lovely. Let me unpack that for you. Every single one of us, yeah, we want to be loved, but we don't want that love to be a sham. We want to deserve the love. You follow me? We want to really be deserving of that love. And all of us want it. I promise you, every single one of us wants to be lovely. Guys, even you want to be lovely. Okay? You want to be such that who you are is worth loving. And we fear being so bad we're not worth loving. Right? And by the way, this is why we do a lot of the dumb things we do. To try to earn love. Whatever it may be. Accomplishments or saying you don't care about accomplishments. We do all of that because we want to be loved, but more importantly, we want to be lovely. Does everybody feel like you understand that idea? We want not just to be loved, but to be lovely. Let me read another quote. This is by Martin Luther. Who knows who that was? Not Martin Luther King. I had a student say that Martin Luther King was Martin Luther's son. It's not the case. Listen to this quote, everybody. The love of God does not find, but creates that which is pleasing to it. Let me say it again. Think about what it's saying. The love of God does not find, but creates that which is pleasing to it. Let me say it this way. The King of the universe doesn't go around and go, all right, let me find all the really cool people and I'll make them a part of my kingdom. Let me go and find all the really good people, and I'll make them part of my kingdom. No. He finds the unlovely and makes them lovely. He finds the unlikable and makes them attractive. He finds the worthless and makes them worthy. Does everybody catch that? So our instinct, we want to be good, and we do all these things to try to be good, and God's not in the business of finding good people. God is in the business of finding bad people and making them good. That's what he wants to do. That's why it's good news that Jesus is king. Can you think about all the people that would be left out if Jesus was like, I'm only going to find the people that are really good? It'd be me. Right? I wouldn't be included. I would be excluded. I would be outside. Jesus comes to make us lovely. Stop for a minute. And think about yourself, your thoughts, things you've done, and just think about their unloveliness. Not going to ask for any volunteers. Just think about it for a minute. Think about your unloveliness. Here's what Jesus says. Exactly. I came for you. I know all of it and more. Do y'all realize that? Like, you thought of some things, I imagine, when I said, think about your unloveliness. You thought of some things. Jesus knows 100 other things about you that are worse. And he's like, I know. I'm king. I'm making all things new. And I have called you because I am going to make you new. I'm going to make you lovely. One of my favorite scriptures. Everybody close your eyes and listen to this. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. All right, you can open your eyes. So we all want to be lovely, but we're not. God doesn't find lovely things and make them a part of his team. He finds the unlovely and makes it lovely. And what we will be is not yet seen. But one day we will see him as he is. So would y'all agree that that's good news? Jesus is the one who is making the unlovely lovely. Jesus is the one who is making all things new. So, I don't know if y'all know this. Have y'all ever been in settings where there's like, all right, everybody close your eyes, everybody bow your head. Have y'all ever been around this? Nobody looking. Raise your hand if God is touching your heart. I don't want to do that. I think that's kind of manipulative. Okay? I can't do some tricks and make things happen inside of you, but the Holy Spirit can, and he's here. So here's what I want to do. I want to read a scripture. And then I want silence for 2 minutes. That will feel like forever. And then I'll pray and close us. okay? Because I think the king is present, and you can interact with him and pray to him. Maybe just pray the words or the words of the psalm I'm going to read, and then we'll end with that, okay? But the point of what I'm going to read is, he's king, he's making all things new, and one of the things we do as his forgiven children is we say, man, thank you so much. What do you want to do in me? What do you want to help change in me? And all I'm asking you to do is invite him to do that. Does that make sense? And then maybe we'll close with that song. You want to close with that song? You want to close with that song? Okay. Any questions before I read this? Comments or questions? I like questions. I really do. Yeah?
Should we stand?
No. Good question. Any other questions?
Should we stay seated?
You should all lay down. No, that would be... Yeah, Mr. Grissom had us lay down on the... Okay. Anybody? Seriously, any comments or questions? All right, so I'll read this, 2 minutes of silence, and then we'll stand and close with this song. Or you can stay seated if you want to while we worship. That's fine. Do you care if I read all of Psalm 19? Let me read the whole thing. But again, I want you to listen to those ending words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Everybody close your eyes. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can discern his own errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.